Amen. I'll be honest with you, church. I'm not going to be moved. I know some of y'all ain't going to be moved. I watched you. I've always been blunt like that. I got to work on it. You don't have to take a nerve pill. It's okay. I seen Frida looking for a purse. Oh, God, we got to move the first night. You have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me. I'm back in the book of Corinthians. This time I'm in the first book of Corinthians. I want to say again, it is a pleasure of mine to be here. And kids from the attic, there's an old man downstairs will help you anytime he can if you need me. Now, if mom, dad's whipping you on your own. But other than that, I'll try to help you with anything I can. Hello? I got one paying attention. Somebody asked me one time, I was evangelizing, I said hello a lot, and I still do it. It's a habit I got, but the reason I say hello is because it's like I'm on the phone and I'm on hold. I'm trying to see if somebody's on the other end of the line. First Corinthians. Oh, I thought it was going to be on the board. I'm quick. Did we get it up there yet? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, when I talked to Pastor Barnes before he left, he said, the first Sunday night, we have a youth service. He said, now, we're going to call it off since that's your first Sunday. I said, well, the first thing I said was there wasn't going to be no drastic changes. That'd be pretty drastic. And I said, let's have a youth service. And so, in talking with Sister Barbara, I said, you got anybody special coming? She said, just Shannon. Well, she didn't say it that way. That was my version. I'm trying to help you out, sis. I mean, she just said, you know, they had Shannon coming. I said, well, you know, and she, something was about he might have somewhere to go or something. So I said, well, look, I'll preach if you need me to for the youth service. And then I discussed it with him. We're cool. So I don't think I kicked him out. Matter of fact, I told him preach if he wanted to. But I'm kind of glad I got to because I get to connect with the kids, no matter how old they are. Because this sermon's for everybody. Now, I got to praying about it. It just seemed like the Lord wanted me to revisit something that I preached 35 years ago, almost this week. I had 16 pages of type notes, and in 4 minutes, I was through. Those of you who hadn't figured it out, it's my first sermon ever. Now, back then, I had no biblical knowledge whatsoever. I mean, seriously, you could tell me Moses built an ark, and I'd go along with it. Y'all remember that? How many animals did Moses put on the ark? I'd be calculating. I had no idea who built the ark. I just knew there was one. Y'all may not understand this, but a majority of the people in America are not biblically knowledgeable. I have one friend who's got a church in this state that if he talks about salvation, he's got to take 15 minutes to explain what salvation is so half his congregation knows what he's talking about because they're not church folks. Hello? I'm not going to spend all that time, but if there's somebody here, you ain't got biblical knowledge, we want to help you. Part of the process of the church is to help folks that don't know nothing. That includes some of y'all been around a long time. Because I've been around some folks in my home church that they still on milk. They ain't never got off the bottle. And they whine if you take the pacifier away from them. Hello? That's good preaching. I know folks get a little farther, but it sometimes takes a while. But you know, we need to get some biblical knowledge because that is the basis of who we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm in trouble enough. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us tonight and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm not sure who the leak is, but I've already got two phone calls from other parts of the state about me popping off about wanting to date somebody when I'm 95 this morning. Somebody has said something to somebody who said something to somebody. Because one guy in Mobile called me up or was talking to me, and he said, hey, I hear you got in hot water this morning. Glory. I do appreciate it. It's an humbling experience. I want to talk to you tonight for just a few moments, and I want us to just take a long look at something. You know, when you get to thinking about things, you can preach about anything if you look at it hard enough. When I was a child, I used to read Bible stories and stuff like that, but one thing I used to like to do was read nursery rhymes. Any of y'all remember the story of the three little pigs? You know, there was a mother pig that told her kids they was old enough to get out on their own, and they went out and got ready to build. And you know, one of the pigs builds on straw. Then one finds a guy with sticks and builds his house out of sticks. And then another guy buys some bricks and builds him a house. And you know, the story of those three little pigs is a very good story, because you know, we can look at it, and you may not realize this, but every one of those nursery rhymes has implications to help us in life. Hello? Somebody said, well, how's this going to help me? I'm an adult. Because listen, if those pigs had took time to do it right, they wouldn't have been where they were when trouble came. Hello? And we've got people who are building relationships and things with God that are not taking time to build it right. And because of that, their foundations are weak, the walls are weak, and when trouble comes, represented by the wolf, their house ain't going to be there, their protection's not going to be there. And so therefore they end up with something that's not going to make it. Could you say amen? Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? It's understandable today that we in the church world need to understand, number one, God is my foundation. Hello? My foundation to God is not in faith. Faith is what ties me to the foundation, but the foundation is not faith. My faith is not the word. Because the word is what tells me of the foundation, but I've got to be founded in what that word describes, which is Jesus Christ. And unless I come to know him in the fullness of his grace and become rooted in him with the power of his glory, amen, and then by faith receive from him that makes me an overcomer, I am never going to accomplish anything in this world, but I'm going to constantly stay in a place where I'm all the time in trouble. I'm all the time, come on, church. You say, preacher, what you talking about? Because we got too many people in the church world that have constantly in the altars having to have help. Nothing wrong if you got to come down here every week, but sooner or later you ought to grow up so we can move on to a world and tell them about the God that's got us and helping us and moving us so that we can reach lost and dying souls. And God's looking for lights, not lamps. He's looking for people that's bright, not just smoldering and coming around. And if we can get on the foundation and get locked in, I've got a God that can give us a move, that can touch our families and can touch our homes and bring our kids in. And church, let me tell you something, there's a harvest field right here in this building. There's a house full of people around every one of us, and not all of them are saved. If we could have revival in our homes, get our kids saved, our loved ones saved, our neighbors saved, you wouldn't be able to get them in this building, much less probably have to have church out on that thing out there and fill up the whole side. You say, well, preacher, that's numbers. No, that's souls, and that's what it's all about. It's not whether we're going to have 500 on Sunday morning. It's whether or not we're winning souls and getting something done for God, and that's what's important, and that's why we need the right foundation. If we're founded on anything else, it's sinking sand. If we're founded on anything else, it will not last. But Paul said, I, as a wise master builder, have laid a foundation, and now you're building on that foundation. And I'm telling you, friend, how you build, it's what's going to determine your eternal reward. That's what Paul said. If you build something that lasts through the fire, if you build something that lasts through the flood, if you build something that makes it, then you will receive a reward. And I'm telling you tonight, we need that foundation. Could you say amen? Glory. Oh, this is a little kid's sermon, isn't it? I'm sorry. Y'all might well get ready, because I preach about all of them I can find. Glory. One of my favorites y'all going to hear before long. Humpty Dumpty. Oh, we got a lot of Humpty Dumpty Christians. I'm going to leave that alone. That's another sermon. Glory. Bunch of egghead. No. Smile at me. But now, church, the truth of the matter is, when you look at this, some of you are saying, well, preacher, I want a Bible-based message. Well, I got me three pigs in the Bible who did exactly what these three pigs done. They were in a hurry to build their foundation. They were in a hurry to make things work. They were in a hurry to get something going. And in doing so, they blew their own self off the foundation and ended up losing. You say, preacher, prove it. Well, you've got Judas. Here's the guy that represents the pig who built with the straw. He gets him a relationship, but it's always tied about money. All during the time, he's worried about the money. He's worried about whether they got money. A lady's worshiping God, and he's worried because she spent too much money on the fragrant stuff that she was worshiping with. And in end results, it ends up destroying him because Satan uses the pull of money to pull him down and to take him away. And let's face it, Satan representing the wolf huffed and puffed a couple of times, and Judas goes down in flames, and all of a sudden he's lost. And I know, I had one guy told me Judas went to heaven. I said, come that. He said, well, his name was written in the book of life. I said, I'm sorry, but he sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Actually sold himself for 30 pieces of silver. But I said, the truth of the matter is, he blew himself off the foundations because he never got built in the right place. His whole time he was focused on the wrong thing. You say, well, that's pretty good. You got somebody else, Peter. Peter was a guy that built on the foundations, got close to God. He's willing to fight anybody for him. Cut a man's ear off when they come to take him. But you ever notice Peter didn't last long? Because all of a sudden God says, you're going to deny me thrice. Not me, buddy. Everybody else may let you down, but I'm not going to. And who was the first one to give up? They looked at him and said, oh, you're one of those Galileans. You're one of the guys who was with Jesus. He said, not me, buddy. You know, if you really get right with Scripture, it not only said he denied Christ, but he cursed him. He let him know, I ain't one of him. Use bad words about him. I've got nothing to do with him. And three different times they asked him, and on the end of the third time, he hears the chicken crowing over the hill. And next thing you know, he's gone. But isn't it wonderful? Even there's a good ending to this story, because he remembered the foundation and got back on it, went out in the wilderness and wept bitterly and come to know God again and walk with him. Amen. You say, preacher, that's good, but where's the third one? Stephen. I mean, here's a guy that gets on the foundation. He starts preaching, and he's so loaded with the power of God that his words are simply piercing the hearts of those that listen to him. And on that foundation, he's reaching out to those who will listen. And next thing you know, they get so mad, they decide to stone him to death. But even when he could have sold Christ out and not been stoned possibly, he stood there and said, I'm still going to worship him. And as they were hitting him with the bricks, he said, I seen the heavens open, and I saw the glory of God, and I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And I want to tell you something, church. Don't know about you, but I want that to be me, that I don't sell him out for anything, that I don't give him up for anything. And for that to happen, I got to build the right life. I got to build the right foundation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody said, preacher, what are those foundations? Let me tell you something. When you're building, there's certain things you got to have. Number one, you got to have a good plan. I'm going to be honest with you, church. I used to build houses. Ain't nothing worse than somebody trying to build something without a plan. They get out there and start working and cutting and nailing, and next thing you know, they got something ain't worth a flip. It ain't going to stand because they don't have the plan. A good architect. Now, let me tell you something, church. I love architects, but sometimes they draw stuff you can't build. Glory. Somebody looking like we got an architect. I'm sorry, but... I mean, one time I remember we had something. We were building a church down near Utah, and they had these dormers on the roof, and there were six of them. Problem was, the roof wasn't long enough for six dormers. It was great with that little pencil thing he drew, but when you started measuring it out, unless we were going to get out in the street, they didn't have enough building. And when we built the thing, he got mad because we reconstructed it and took a couple of dormers out, or just one of them really, and worked the others in. He said, there's something wrong. They're not spaced right. I said, yeah, but are there enough of them? He said, oh, yeah, it looks good. I'm thinking he drew it and don't even know we done messed with it. Glory.
But without a good plan, you're not going to have anything. You've got to have a good plan. Can I tell you that these people keep talking about, I can't make it? It's because they don't have a good plan. I've got a word of God that's going to teach me about Jesus. I got a word of God that's going to fill my heart with words that's going to help me make it. He's designed a way for us to get by. And we've got a plan we can work with. And if I hide the word of God in my heart, it's going to be a light unto my path that I will not sin against God. If I hide that word of God in my heart, it's going to build me up in the most holy faith so I can make it when trouble comes. Amen. I don't know if y'all understand this, but these kids are up here learning about God, and that's what it's all about. Because one day, even if they get away from this, they're going to always have it in the back of their head, and somewhere they're going to get to thinking about a God that can touch them and a God that can move on them. Let me tell you something. I used to go to Sunday school. Wasn't much of a Christian. I bounced in and out of church. Somebody asked me today, was I raised Church of God? I was raised Scuzzball. My dad was a backslid Methodist preacher. I went to Baptist church, got saved when I was 12, got baptized. God started dealing with me to preach, and I left the Baptist. I became Nazarene. I got anointed. They anointed you with oil, took me into church. Then I made it back to the Methodist, got sprinkled. Every time I'd get in church, start trying to live right, God started dealing with me to preach, and I'd hit the road again. And I was in and out of church, and then I ended up Catholic. I mean, that's my kind of religion. Do what you want to, tell them about it, light some candles, give an offering, go do it again. I mean, before I was living right, that looked perfect to me. Glory. Isn't that what folks are looking for? Something that fits their bill where they can hide behind it and act like, hey, I got it. End results, I was a drug addict, alcoholic. And I remember one night I was at a party at the university, and I was messed up real bad, and I fell off a walkway about three stories up. I landed on the back of a car. While I'm laying there looking in the heavens trying to figure out what just happened, I sobered up as sober as the day I was born. And God spoke to me and said, when you see the stars, the handiworks of my fingers, you know there is a God somewhere. Church, I'd never read a Bible. It was after I got saved that I'm reading Psalms, and I read that, and I realize in some Sunday school class, some teacher thought they were doing nothing, planted something in me that spoke to me laying on the back of a car that started making me think about God. And a few months later, I end up stumbling into a church on a Sunday night trying to buy booze off of an usher and got saved. And you know what? It was all from a seed planted by somebody thought they didn't do anything. But I want to tell you, that's what it's all about. That's why we minister to these people. That's why we reach to them, because we could plant a seed that one day flourishes and becomes a great thing in God. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. That Sunday school teacher could have gave up, said, I didn't do nothing, I just want to quit. But I can tell you right now, there's over 11,000 people come to know Jesus Christ, 29 last month in revivals that I was running. And I'll be honest with you, church, y'all think I'm going to quit being a soul winner? Y'all hired the wrong dude. Glory. I mean, I've been 35 years reaching folks. I ain't stopping now. I'd expected some of y'all to catch on and help me. Hello? Somebody said, wait a minute, preacher, we hired you. I'm going to lead, and I expect you to follow. I don't see nothing wrong with that. Come on, church. If all of us do what God said do, we get on the foundation. We get the material, the plan. But see, that's the whole thing. God needs material. You know, when I was working, we always wanted number one material. I mean, you got number two pine, you had crooked walls, messed up stuff. Hey, man. I mean, one time this guy got some stuff. He was trying to save money. He was building off number three stuff. And we had rafters that would touch each other on 24-inch centers. And then he wanted to know, is that roof going to buck? I said, the roof ain't even going to stay on, but I don't reckon that matters to you. As long as it looked good, you can sell it. Glory. Hello? He said, can you straighten some of them? I said, we need a rafter straightener. Oh, I made him one. Took a two before and took two nailed on the side where you stick it over it and take it, just bend it, run two bolts through it. He got crazy. He said, you can do that? I said, yeah. And we pulled it over and nailed it. I said, if the nail ever comes loose, it's going to be rough on whoever's down by it. Glory. But you see, you got to have good material. You know the great thing about God? See, I done shocked some of y'all. Y'all wish y'all had heard that before you voted. Y'all sitting there going, my God, he was a drug addict, alcoholic. Isn't it great to see the finished product and realize that one time I was lost, undone without God, but what God could do with somebody, amen. See, that's the great thing about God. He ain't got to have number one material. He can take slabs and build a house out of it, and it'll make it. Come on, church. Amen. God could take somebody worth nothing and put something in them and make them worth something. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's the God I serve, who can take that material, put it together, and build a house. But notice this. No house will make it without a foundation. God told me one time, women can't wear jewelry. That gold and silver and stuff. I said, well, my Bible said that those precious stones are in the foundation of heaven. He said, yeah, junk. They just throwed it in the foundation. I said, dude, you ain't never built, have you? He said, what are you talking about? I said, your foundation's the most important part of the building. Hello? Oh, I done got on a subject, got some of y'all squirming, I can tell. I don't drag out clotheslines, okay? And I'm definitely not getting off on the war paint stuff. I'm doing a camp meeting in a Methodist church, and this preacher gets up and he's racking the women over for wearing short pants. He looks at me and said, what about it, preacher? I said, you're on your own. I mean, we're sitting there in a tabernacle with 400 people and half of them got on short pants, and he want me to go get hung with him? Come on, church. If we stick with the word, we'll be okay. Smile at me. The foundation is the most important part. And that's why I believe Paul said, I, as a wise master builder, have laid that foundation. But he said, another's going to build on it. Who is that? That's you and I. When we get our feet on the foundation, we begin to build a relationship with God. And listen, the proper foundation is going to help us. You say, preacher, how's that foundation going to help me? Number one, I got to get to where I can see here. Let me refocus. There was a time I was young, but now I'm old, and I yet can see without my glasses. That's in the book of Uriah. Somebody looking it up as I speak. A good foundation helps us in relationships. If you're founded in Christ, relationships are never a problem, because if you love God, you'll love everybody else. You may not like everything they do, but you'll love them. Hello? There are times that my wife don't like me. I got a bigger amen out of her than anything I said. That's inspiring. Oh, there's times your wife don't like you, or your husband don't like you. I mean, if that was, if we just never had a problem, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful? You'd shoot each other for the fun of it. But real relationships comes because you love and you look past. Hello? I mean, let's face it. I remember Frieda and I were getting married. I was talking to evangelist. He said, I got good advice for you. Love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opening experience. First 6 months you're married, you can eat them up. The rest of your life you wish you had. Come on, church. You say, Reese, what's this got to do with kids? Because they need to understand that real love overlooks all those little things that are wrong with people, so that we can build relationships, so we can become one. And that's what it's all about. When we do that, then we can win people. You will never win somebody with your knowledge. You will never win them or impress them with what you know about God. But when you get them to fall in love with you and who you represent, then you can lead them to God. Because you got to show them you care before you'll ever tell them that they got to care. Hello? Oh, that's good preaching, Ken. Amen. I'm finna have to amen myself. I tell it right now. Say amen, brother. Lord, I got me one down here on the front row. Just remember that when I point at you, say amen. We got it now. I got an amen, Connie. Hey, I want you there every service from now. Oh, he's even amening when I'm telling him to be there. Glory. Give me two or three more, I'll be in good shape. I give me an amen, a praise the Lord, a hallelujah over here, and I'll just get them in synchronization. Glory. But listen to this. Foundations will also help you to get fear out of your life. Church, why are you scared if you're on the right foundation? Because if I'm in God, I got nothing to fear. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, church, if I am founded in Christ, I've got nothing to be afraid of, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if I'm founded in Christ, I ain't worried about the devil. I ain't worried about every imp he's got, because I know that I know that I know that I got somebody on my side going to bring me out. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm hurrying because I don't want to preach too long. I've been threatened to be removed by the pastor's council for preaching too long. Your words haunt you, fellas. Glory. I know they was playing. And I was too when I informed them that there is the power of dismissal. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to be able to just cut up somebody you don't even know that well? Glory. Oh. There's no disharmony. We're all in one mind and one accord. We dislike each other. No. Smile. Church, we got to get to that place where we're not living in fear. Do you realize the number one cause of death in America today is anxiety? Anxiety-related deaths is what's killing people in America. That's fear. We got more people on Prozac and other things like that trying to get their nerves straightened out, and they're afraid of everything. And church, it's time we get to that place where we realize we get the right foundation. It's nothing to be afraid of. But notice this, the foundation helps you make good decisions. If your decisions are based on God, you don't make so many bad decisions. You ever notice one of the problems we have is we go do stuff and then blame it on God? You buy a car you can't afford. Well, I felt like God was in it. Well, why is that? Well, I prayed and I told him if that car was there, it had to be his will. If it's overpriced, it's not ever going to move till you show up. Hello? Man, you want to put a fleece before God, say, God, if you want me to have that car, let them be half price next week and no money down and zero interest for as long as I need it to be to buy it. Lord. Now, if that happens, God's all in that. Lord. I don't do anything without praying about it. I don't make decisions without talking to God. Let him help me make them. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, we've had people get married, end up divorced because they got in lust instead of love, and they saw somebody just, oh, I got to have them, and get married, and then realize, oh, I didn't want them because they didn't pray about what they were doing. But if we really have a good foundation, we communicate with God, and then you get somebody like me. I'm serious. I'm praying. I would have never married my wife if it had not been for God. Number one, he had to save me, or she wouldn't have nothing to do with me. Her daddy didn't want me around because he knew me. Glory. You know, the truth of the matter is, if I look back at it, if a guy showed up like me to date my daughter, I'd have shot him when he walked in the yard. Glory. But I went to church to meet somebody else because I'd been sold on this other girl. She was a great singer. She was, I mean, boy, they was telling me I had a great person. I'd be a perfect preacher's wife. And I went to church thinking, I'm going to meet the perfect preacher's wife. Thank God I got a God loves me. She was gone. Because if she'd been there, it's possible that I'd have married her. I mean, she'd married everybody else that showed up. Lord. By the way, this tape gets destroyed after church because she's my wife's sister. Lord. Now, my daughter and them know it, and if they talk, I heard them. But I went to meet her. She wasn't there, and I'm sitting back there with a young lady that took me to church to meet her. She said, she ain't here. I said, don't matter. Who is the girl singing up there? She said, that's Fred. By the way, that's her nickname. I'm the only one who can do it and not get killed, but y'all go for you. Take your chance. Lord. I said, well, introduce her to me. I'm going to marry her. She said, you crazy. We met at the church. I took her to a fellowship meeting on Monday night, took her home. And I hadn't even read Song of Solomon yet, but when I read it, I knew it was what he meant when he said the kisses are like wine. Some of y'all, ooh, he said that like you ain't never kissed your wife. If you ain't, y'all crazy been married long as you haven't and kissed nobody. I kissed her, took about two steps back. I said, will you marry me? She said, you serious? I said, yeah. She said, okay. I got to admit, I tried the spirits all the way to Buell. I was going, God, is this you? Oh, Lord, is this you? We've been married 30-something years. And what I said this morning, I'm serious about. She's been the anchor that's kept me from doing a lot of things. But it was because I had the foundation that made me say, wait a minute, I'm not doing this. It's too important. And if we've got the right foundation, we make the right decisions. And we end up in the right place. Because the right foundation will always take us to the right place. The conclusion is, if we take time to build on the right foundation, we have a life that's going to last forever. And we hear the reward. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter ye in to the joys I have for you. And that foundation is Jesus Christ, the only way, the only truth, the only life. Would you stand with me all over the house? Father in heaven, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. Father, you said it is not by might nor by power, but it is by thy spirit, saith God. Father, we commend this congregation into your hand. Every heart, every life, every soul. Please, God, touch us tonight with your anointing. Move on us with your presence. For God, it is in Jesus' name we pray. While every head's bowed, every eye's closed, I really believe with all my heart that God's speaking to someone in this house tonight. The great thing about a good foundation is you're sure of where you stand. You don't have to worry about it falling out from under you, running away. But you know that you know that you know that God is not going to let you fall. The confidence of my life is not in my ability, but what God can do through me and by me. The confidence of your life is not what you can do, because none of us can make it without Him. But in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. I believe with all my heart tonight God's talking to someone. You need to get on a foundation. You need to get your feet planted a little harder in God. You're here tonight. You're not where you really need to be with God. I want you to step out, walk to the front of this building. I want to pray with you. But more than that, I have a God that wants to come to know you better than you've ever known Him. What about it? Would you come? Would you seek His face? Would you let Him have His way in your life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young folks, would you come to the altar tonight? We want to pray with you. I want all the young people in the church to come. I'm watching to see how some of his mentality is. Some of you may be younger than you think. Line up all the way across so we can get some folks behind you to pray with you. Church, this is where it's all about. If we get them on a foundation now, there's a good chance that if the Lord tarries 20 years from now, they're still going to be on that foundation. I want you to come, if you will, and help me tonight as we pray for these young people in the altar. We're going to lay hands on them, believe God, to minister to them, to lift them up, to help them on the foundation get closer to God. Church, this is what it's all about, loving God, teaching them about loving God, showing them the relationship by praying with them and guiding them. Let's lay our hands on them and believe God with them tonight. Young people, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you right now for your love and mercy. God, we thank you because you are able, Lord, in our lives to do great things. God, we come to you tonight believing you for the outpouring of your spirit, for your glory, for your anointing. Touch us, Lord, with your sweet, sweet spirit. Minister to us tonight, God, in Jesus' name.